In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 16. And here Paul is speaking words of encouragement to young Timothy. "But as to you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." For the gospel of the Lord, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray together, shall we? May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the sort of the face of the deep. And in verse 3, it says, "And God said." Verse 6, "And God said." Verse 9, "And God said." Verse 11, "Then God said." Verse 14, "And God said." Verse 20, "And God said." Verse 24, "And God said." Verse 26, "Then God said." Out of nothing, everything was created. How was it created? By the Word of God. The Word of God. Our service, our sermon this morning is about praying through the Psalms, which are part of the Word of God. And much of what I've got to say this morning also applies to the whole Word of God. But we begin at the beginning, and we discover that God's Word, that God said, is powerful. It is creative. Jesus knew exactly the same thing when he was tempted by the devil. And in Luke chapter 4, it says, "Jesus answered the devil." Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And there's another part of scripture that actually refers to God's word as being bread. Thank you. Thanks, Janice. Verse 8. Again, Jesus answered the devil and said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then in verse 12, "It is said." All quotations from Deuteronomy. And Jesus knew the power of quoting scripture, that scripture defeats the enemy. And Paul, writing to his young friend Timothy, said this, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is wise. It is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that we are equipped. And then in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews again hammers on the same thing. The word of God is active, alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. As we actually open ourselves up to God's word gets to work in our spirits, in our hearts. God is able to move through his word in our spirits. So as we look at praying through the Psalms, interacting with God in the Psalms, this whole thing is just so important that we ground this in the power of God's word. God's word isn't dead. It isn't like any other book that you pick up from the bookshelf or the library. God's word is powerful and effective. If you think back over the years, I'm young enough to remember when we had a communist regime in Europe, and some of our friends put their lives on the line to take these into Russia and into the communist countries. And that wasn't once, because the same things happened in China. China thought they'd shut all the missionaries out. They sent them all home. What happened? God's word got to work in China. And when China opened up again, they discovered there were even more Christians, millions more Christians than there had been in the first place. God's word is powerful and effective, and can be powerful and effective in our lives. Now, Helen and I have walked a journey with God's word over the years, and we've got to using God's word at certain times. Would you like to step forward, my dear? When we're coming to church in the morning, then we would usually quote 1 Peter 2, 9, which goes like this.
What do you mean we would usually quote it? We always quote.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God.
Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy.
Don't go away. Because before we turn off the light at night, we always say,
I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make us dwell in safety.
Now you need to be careful now, because I might go to sleep. Thank you, love. And there is power in quoting Scripture. Now, I'd like to give you four keys in praying the Psalms that just might help us to access them a little bit bigger, better. That was a Freudian slip. I was just thanking Janice for making my slides bigger, because in the first service they were so small that you couldn't read them. So here we are, four keys. The first thing to realize about the Psalms is that they are poems, Hebrew poems to be precise, and they are intended to be sung or spoken. C.S. Lewis said, the Psalms are poems intended to be sung. They must be read as poems if they are to be understood. Otherwise, we shall miss what is in them and think we see what is not. Now, that is a really important thing. So to interact with the Psalms, and I'm not knocking silent prayer, Eunice, we use our minds to just meditate on God's word, but this morning I'm flagging up the power of speaking out the word of God aloud. And with the Psalms, this is so important. I don't know if any of you at school were trained in how to read poetry. Helen was. I wasn't particularly, but as a musician, I do encourage singers to go through the words, to speak them out, to come to grips with what is actually there. So the first key is that this needs to be allowed. The second key is that we need to put it into context. We need to read the psalm and find out as much information as we can about the psalm. For instance, who wrote it? A lot of the psalms are written by David, and we would all know a lot of David's life, you know, his successes and his failures, and how he interacted with God has been put there in scriptures for us to interact with God as we make silly mistakes in our lives, just as David did. And there's psalms from Moses, and there's psalms from people that are called musicians, and we don't know their names, but there they are. And there are many different types of psalms. There's praise and worship, there's repentance, there's yielding, there's warfare and battle. And can I encourage you, if you find a psalm that's full of battle and warfare, don't be put off it, because our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against demonic forces. And so we can actually pick up God's psalms about battle, and they were written about real flesh and blood battles, but they're appropriate to us through the power of the Holy Spirit as psalms that we can use when we are in spiritual battles. Just as I said a few minutes ago, Jesus quoted scripture to defeat the enemy, and we can do that. And so don't be put off if you find a psalm and think, oh, well, this is a bit gory. Yeah, it is, but the enemy that we are here to defeat is a bit of a problem. So we need to be able to wage warfare against the enemy through the power of the psalms. Thirdly, we need to understand what is being said. Who is speaking to whom and about what? Now, you might think, well, that's pretty obvious. Why do I need to think about that? Well, I've spent enough of my time as a musician teaching choirs and musical groups. And one of the things I've discovered is it is not obvious that the choir that you're conducting actually knows what they're singing about. Have you noticed that? You can actually tell if you're watching a performance whether the choir or the singers actually know what they're singing about. And we're all we all fall down in this way. I've started to read a novel sometimes and got to the end of a page and thought, gosh, what was all that about? And I had to go back and read it again. And we need to do that with God's word, with the Psalms, in order to understand what is going on. I'll illustrate that in a few moments. So the last point, last key, is this, that a psalm or part of a psalm might have particular significance to you. And what I mean by that is that God's word, this book, is referred to in Greek as logos. It's the whole of God's word, and it's powerful, and it's appropriate. However, there are times in our lives as Christians that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and begin to nudge us in a particular way over a particular verse or verses, and the word of God changes from being logos to what we call rhema, which is another Greek word, and it means a particular reference to us. Because God is alive, his spirit is alive with us, And there are times when he wants to highlight and say, Helen, Keith, or Janice, I want to say this to you personally, and it might be for a season, or it might be like an all-time verse that becomes very important to you. And as we're praying the Psalms, expect God to do that. Expect God to highlight certain bits. I was sharing this morning that before we moved overseas, I believe the Lord gave us a Rhema verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which many of you would know. For I know the plans I have for you, plans the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And with that, we set off to emigrate to New Zealand. And we moved everything out there, but we couldn't sell the house in the UK. And that was a bit of a problem because we couldn't really afford to be without a house. And it was costing us a lot of money. And although we had some lovely friends in New Zealand, lovely Christian friends, things were not gelling. Our family wasn't gelling with us. Things were not working out for us. And I remember going for a walk, a prayer walk along the beach, Long Beach, I think it was, with Helen. And I said, you know, that verse that God has given us, it's not happening. We are not finding hope for the future. Things are not working. And we realized that God, although there was nothing wrong with the verse, but we were in the wrong place. And we moved everything out to New Zealand. So we packed it all up, sent it back to the UK. And we said, never again. Well, you can see that that worked, can't you? And but you see, this time, here we are in Australia, and I can testify, I know God's plans for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future. And that's why we're here today. And God is working through our lives. And that's how Rhema verses work. Now, let's just spend a few minutes as we conclude actually putting this together. So if we could move on to Psalm 103. Now, I hope you can read this. Can you all see that? Yeah, okay, brilliant. Let's just read it, shall we, together. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we've done the first bit. We've read it aloud. Now, what's it about? Who's speaking to whom? David? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, right. Okay. That's the key. Yeah. David. But who's he speaking to? Himself. Yeah. You see how you need to dwell on this to get the idea. This is a good one. That's why I put it up. Okay, because David is actually speaking to himself. And there are times in our Christian walk when we need to speak to ourselves. Okay? Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. And then he says it again, doesn't he? Because he's not satisfied with once. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. And then he starts to remember things, and he says, I can remember your benefits. And he goes on to list all the benefits, forgives sins, heals diseases, redeems life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion. You can almost feel him getting excited, can't you, as he reads that. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I don't know if he had other people around him. Maybe he did, but you could almost imagine him saying that. You know, let's not forget his benefits as we share one another. For he forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases, and he redeems our lives from the pit. He crowns us with love and compassion. Now, I'm actually putting some other words in there, and I think that's quite valid. Okay? you can personalize a psalm as you pray it. You know, so it, yes, it was David that wrote it. Does it apply to me? Yes, it applies to me because I would like to stir up my soul. But I can begin to use the words that personalize that particular psalm from me. And let's not forget, there might be, the Lord might say, look, this is really important for you. Maybe you need to know that God heals. Maybe you're sick. And maybe you need to say particularly over that, Lord, I know you are the healer of diseases as we do that. Okay, let's conclude with this as we come to our last slide. Thank you. Application. You can tell I'm a teacher, can't you? Okay. This is so practical, but it's the simple things we forget to do. Okay, if you want to be on board for doing this, the first thing that you need to be is intentional about doing it. All right, you can, I give you free will to walk out of this service and forget about praying the Psalms. You're allowed to do that. God might remind you later on, but if you want to do this, if you want to release more power into your lives as Christians so that the work of God might grow in St. Mark's, I would suggest we become intentional about prayer of all forms. That's why Janice made this a particular point that we needed to do over this month. It's just so important. Nothing will happen in this church except through prayer. Okay? End of subject. Right. Okay, so we need to find a time that suits us. All right? Now, you're sitting there. I don't know what's in your head. I don't know your daily routine, but find a time. Find a place where you can be alone if you're going to pray by yourself, or with somebody else if you're going to pray with them. Find a psalm. You choose it. There's 150. There's plenty to go at. Try and find one that you feel, this is what I want to pray. Okay? I've recently just been going through the whole 150 and do a different one each day. And that's good. Because that's often the challenge, you know, find yourself in this psalm. And sometimes I struggle, but that's good. So find a psalm, read it aloud, understand it, read it carefully. You know, when you're reading poetry, you really do have to read it out a few times to draw out the meaning of it. And as you read it out, you will find that the Holy Spirit will come alongside you, will begin to move in your spirit and begin to work it out. And then lastly, pray it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us as your people to speak out your word. Lord, my prayer is that each one of us would take your word more seriously, that we would realize your power and our access to your wonderful word, that it might become more and more part of our lives as we pray day by day. Amen.